The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, what does God's calling look like?
To signal by nodding your head. So they didn't really say anything. They signaled by nodding their head, and I thought, that is such a classic man thing. Don't you think it is? I mean, like, women, we don't pass one another and go, I mean, am I telling the truth? I mean, we just don't do that. We don't do that.
God's calling on your life, next on Life Today.
Today, I'm Randy Robinson. This is my wife, Debbie. My parents, James and Betty, are taking a well-needed break today. But Beth Moore is still here. She's teaching her series called The Calling, and I know it's going to be a blessing to you. So let's go to Beth right now, and I'll be back after her teaching. Let's watch Beth right now.
Jesus is telling somebody listening or watching today to do something that you've already done. And it didn't work. And he's going to do it again. This time I want you to just cast it over on this side. But I already did it over here. No, do it again. Master, at your word, I'll let down the net. And they got so many fish. They had to call over the other boat. Finally, there were so many fish in the boat with them, the boats started to sink. I want you to notice something. In verse 7, it says in the ESV, they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They signaled to their partners. I love this. This is when I love to get into a little bit of original word study because it gets really fun. And this is a place where I got a little kick out of it because that word signaled right there literally means to signal by nodding your head, to signal by nodding your head. So they didn't really say anything. They signaled by nodding their head, and I thought, that is such a classic man thing. Don't you think it is? I mean, like, women, we don't pass one another and go, I mean, am I telling the truth? I mean, we just don't do that. But I mean, my man just, I mean, it's just like, and we have some cactus land. I always try to tell you, don't be impressed with it because you should just see it. If cactus is ever worth anything, we are going to be just rolling because we've got so much cactus. And when we go to that area of Texas, men, they just nod at one another. There really is very little conversation that happens, and there is almost no smiling whatsoever. I think in this part of Texas, they do not trust a grinner. That's what I think. Now, one reason they probably signaled with their heads is because their hands were busy, but they didn't yell. They did this business. Like that business. Like, get over here. And so over they came, and together they could not pull all the fish in the boat, and it began to sink, and so did the second one. Now, look what happens in verse 8, because this is where I want to show you, this is where I want to prove to you biblically, something happened this time that in the midst of all those people being healed, in the midst of what happened to his mother-in-law when she hopped up and began to, I was going to say put on hot dogs, but they would not have eaten hot dogs. No, they would not have. But she hopped up and started. Something happened right here that didn't happen there. And this is what we can't explain to other people. We just know that it's seared through our own hearts. In verse 8, it says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Okay, now go here with me for a second, because remember, Jesus is in the boat, okay? He's in the boat. So the reason why Peter is at his knees is because he's in the boat. Now, I don't know, their vessels were fairly large, so there would certainly have been, understandably, room enough for him to have laid down at his feet. But also, the boat is full of what, ladies and gentlemen? Fish. So he is kneeling down at his knees, and he says something to him that is of great importance to us in our present series. Somebody tell me what he says. Depart from me. Go away from me. Why? I'm a sinful man. How come he didn't figure out he was a sinful man when his mother-in-law was healed? And all manner of people came and had their diseases healed. Why didn't he figure out he was a sinful man then? Because somehow he knew that Jesus had so known him on his own turf that it scared the living daylights out of him. And I just want to ask you, has there ever been a time when God did something profound for you, but somehow after the initial delight of what he had done, it hit you how well he knew you and it nearly scared you to death? That's happened to me. That's happened to me. Where he would honestly, I can't tell you what he'd have had to have managed in order for me to read a scripture on an exact day when such and what was going to happen. That I was going to have this encounter after having had that conversation. Setups, these divine setups all the time. Is anybody knowing what I'm talking about? Start asking him to make you aware of it. But here's what happens. At first, we're all like, whoa, that was good. And then it was like, whoa. He's in my house. He is watching me. He's hearing me on my phone. He's watching me on my computer. This man is onto me. He's come into my home now, and he's messing with me at work. That's when you know you're getting surrounded by Jesus. Depart from me. Depart from me. Depart from me. I want to suggest to you that one of the biggest miracles in the scene is that Jesus did not depart from him. Do you know, and I wonder, and this is, I just pray this is going to speak to somebody listening and watching today. How many times have you said, one way or another, maybe with different words, go away from me, go away. How many times have we in this room said to Jesus, depart from me, depart from me. And you know why? Because I'm a sinful woman, because I'm a sinful woman. And it scares us to death that he would hang around when we know we do not have it together. And that's the crazy thing, is that the light of Christ's countenance is so bright when he reveals himself that you will always get a self-revelation out of it. And I want to suggest to you today, it is one reason why people avoid an intimate relationship with Jesus. Because the thing about it is, you know that the more you get to know him, the light of his presence, and know it's, I want to make sure that you understand, especially if you're new with us and if you're new to this whole Bible thing, none of us have seen him outrightly. At least I haven't. I don't see any of them lifting up their hands like they've just seen him like appear before their very eyes in flesh and blood. But we know this, that when he's revealed himself to us, if it was intimately enough, something was also revealed about ourselves. Sometimes it's something wonderful, like how loved we are. But if I'm wigged out in sin, I am like so aware of it, I can hardly bear it. Depart from me. And I want you to know it doesn't matter how many times you tell him to go away. Once he's on to you, he's on to you. You'll think that you're going to like leave him at home, and then he shows up at the boat. Why? Because Jesus loves the fishermen. Jesus loves a hairdresser, a bank teller, a teacher, a nurse, a doctor, a lawyer, secretary, an administrator, a principal. He loves us. And he is closing in on us. And a beautiful thing happens right there. See, it's so beautiful. You can't appreciate come follow me until you hear Peter say, depart from me. Because he said, leave me alone. He said, oh, I'm going to leave. All right. But I am taking you with me. you are going to follow me. You have not sinned so much that you can keep Jesus away from you. I don't care how you tell him. Some of us are trying to stay in our sin so he will leave us alone. If we do enough of this, maybe we'll wake up. Maybe we'll come out of that stupor and he'll be gone. Only he's still there every single time. That's his way. I got to tell you guys something. I hope so much she is watching this broadcast today. I had an encounter a couple of weeks ago with one of you viewers that I cannot quit thinking about. I mean, it's just like under my skin. And it didn't involve 12 words. I was in a major airport. I don't want to be too specific because I don't want anyone to be on to it. I was in a major airport where I was making a connection and my plane was very late and I had a very short one and it was a very, very big airport. It's one of those that you just go hauling down. And I was just moving as fast as I could, heading down to my next gate when I smelled popcorn. And I want to tell you something. I have no self-control with popcorn. I was raised, my daddy ran movie theaters, and I was raised on the smell, that wonderful smell of popcorn. I cannot resist it. And I could smell it. It was like, oh no, oh no, of all things. And I mean, I'm just like, I'm like a bird dog on point. I mean, I could just turn it like a radar, like just a whole satellite thing. And I thought, there. And so I ran over there as fast as I could, and there were two young women behind the counter. Both of them beautiful women of color, one brown, one darker brown, absolutely just faces. I'll never forget them. And they were busy doing what they were doing. And I walked up to the counter, and one of them looked up at me and had this strangest, I don't even think I can do the expression for you. She had the strangest look on her face. And I mean, her brows drawn down, her eyes just like, piercing a hole through me, and she said, I mean, she looked very, very disturbed. And she said, very, very quietly, I've seen you. And what do you say to that? Because, like, was it in the ladies' room? I don't know where. I was frozen. I did not know what to say. I said something to respond. I went, you have? I mean, I just... And she said, she looks up at me and she says, yeah. And she looks down just like this. She never looks up at me again. Never, never locks eyes with me again. She looks straight down. She goes, yeah, on TV. That was it. I tried to engage her. She was all the way on the other side of the counter. There was no way. They must come in through the back because there was no opening there. Because I'm a hugger. Listen, if I'm talking to you, I'm on your person. And but I could tell when she looked down, I could tell that that the tears were about to spill out of her eyes. And I was so overwhelmed, I didn't know what to do. And so the other woman said, can I help you? I mean, because like this, we're having the oddest moment. The other woman is just going like, we're selling popcorn here. You got customers behind you. Order or move. And so, you know, I tell her what I want. And the other woman, I get out, I said, how much? And the other woman does her arm like this and says, no. In other words, she's gonna pay for my popcorn. I can hardly tell y'all this. And I can tell she's crying. And I don't know what to do. And I mean, they shushed me. She never looked back at me. I tried my heart. Y'all know, I am a talker. I mean, I would have done anything to have tried to engage her. And it was over. It was absolutely over. But I'm telling you that I turned around because my flight was like that, and headed to my flight. And I mean, I sobbed all the way to that gate, all the way. I have no idea what had even happened to the woman. I have no idea. But I felt like I knew, Because what would cause you not to look at people? And that, to me, that's always shame. That's always shame. And so I wanted so badly to go, me too. I've been in the pit too. I have. I wanted to say to Rick, did you watch long enough to know that you could not possibly have out-sinned me and that Jesus has saved me from so many things, but nothing bigger than my plain old self. He saved me from myself and my self-destructive heart. I'd have done anything to engage her, but it just was a moment that was just gone. I've thought about her so much. I hope so much that God has done some. I want you to know, I have never gotten over you that day. And I thought, God pierced my heart. And you know what I thought? I don't think many times people have ever said to that young woman, I love you so much. You are so valuable. You are so priceless. I had the strangest feeling, like no one had ever said, you are so beautiful. So beautiful. Because I knew she did not think she was. I knew she did not think she had value. And I knew a Savior who did. And I knew that she may have run me off, but Jesus stayed and scooped popcorn all day. Then she got in her car, and he went with her. She got home, and he went with her. And everywhere she has said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful woman. I'll depart, but you're going with me. Follow me. I come with such gratitude to God for James and Betty Robison. They are such tremendous people of God, and I not only love them and have so much respect for what they bring to the body of Christ, I also get a huge kick out of them, and I love them dearly. So I'm so grateful. Keith and I both love the privilege to serve with them. And I want to tell you something. On Wednesdays, we get this opportunity. This is the outreach that we do on Wednesdays. But somebody else on the other side of the world doesn't even have clean water to drink. They can't even get their minds wrapped around weekly Bible study because they're trying to stay alive. There are people that don't have enough food to eat, and there are outreaches of life that are meeting those kinds of needs. So I love being part of a ministry that has a broad range perspective on the gospel of the living Christ. So thank you so much, not only for participating on Wednesdays, but in all the outreaches of life. We are so grateful, and may God bless you.
I hope you enjoy Beth. You know, if you miss any part of it, you can always catch all of our programs, including Wednesdays with Beth, at lifetoday.org. I want to let you know that Beth is a part of the Arise devotional. I know you're going to enjoy it. It's not just Beth, it's my mother. It's Christine Kane, Margaret Feinberg, Priscilla Shire, so many other wonderful teachers. I want you to get this. You can get it when you support Mission Water for Life. Now, what is that? That is our outreach to give people clean drinking water in areas where they have none. I want you to go with me right now to one of those areas on a river where we are helping to provide drinking water that will not only change their lives, but in fact, save many lives. Watch this. This is an amazing area. We are in Cambodia on a river that's about 15 miles wide, and there are floating villages. Yet, when you look at all this water, it's death. And in one small pharmacy alone, which is the only medical facility they have in one of these floating villages, the retired nurse there said that he's seeing a child die on average every other week. They cook with it, they bathe in it, and they go to the restroom in it, and they die by this very water.
Giờ hộp nhân thường về mau chẳng tới đã cầu sưu tình tình.
Tell him we will do what we can so that he doesn't lose any more grandchildren. We can change their lives. We can stop the sicknesses that are killing their children and grandchildren. We can just simply give them clean drinking water. You know, as I talked to that couple there, they're actually grandparents. They look young, but they're grandparents. They lost a grandchild to waterborne illness. I asked them a couple of things, a couple of very practical questions, because I always want to know, you know, what's really going on here in these areas where we're doing these things. I said two things. I said, why don't you move? Because that river is just, it's awful, and there's children dying far too often. And they said, where will we go? We don't have any land. We don't have any money to buy land. We were born on this river. This is where we live. And I thought, wow, they're stuck. They would go if they could, but they're really stuck. And then I asked them what really probably sounded like a dumb question to them. I said, if we drill a well on shore, which is just a few hundred yards away, would you go over there and get the clean drinking water? And she looked at me with this expression that kind of made me realize that it kind of sounded dumb to them. Of course they'll go get the water. They know the water's killing them. They would do anything for their grandchildren, for their children, just like you and I would. You know, if they were in our neighborhood, we would invite them over and say, drink this water. Well, the only way we can impact them that far in Cambodia, in Africa, Southeast Asia, all over where we're drilling water wells, is to join together. I understand your financial resources represent your work, your time, your talent. That's what I'm asking you to give. If we will all work together, we can reach our goal. When we drill hundreds of wells around the world, it averages out to $48 helping 10 people. 10 people, and not just for a short period of time, but for a lifetime. If you can give $1,200, we'll send you a beautiful bronze that will remind you of the sacrifice you made and the impact you have had. And you can join with three others to drill a well. Some of you can give $4,800 or more and drill an entire well. It's a gift that we'll keep on giving. You can make an impact right now at whatever level you can give. I'm asking you just to join with us. I'm inviting you to join with us on this wonderful mission to change lives, to save lives. Pick up the phone right now, call the number on the screen, or go to the website. Make a gift. Join with us. Join with others as we reach out and share the love and the life of Jesus Christ by giving living water to those in desperate need. Thank you.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 350 new water wells for remote villages in 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Arise, a beautiful new daily devotional featuring words of encouragement from inspiring women who have shared their faith on Life Today. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Arise audio-visual devotional featuring 40 days of inspiration from Life Today's favorite women guests. Please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the 2012 commemorative bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
This mother has 4 children. Last summer, a year ago, They had an outbreak of intestinal disease from contaminated water. Two of her children got very, very sick. Now she's got a little baby, just a few months old, and this baby is living on her mother's milk. This baby's nursing. But Betty, pretty soon, this little baby's going to be drinking that water. And oftentimes, it takes their lives.
It really does, James. And they can't do anything about it because it's all the water that they have. I just can't even imagine. This little baby is so precious, so beautiful. Her mama just cuddling her and taking care of her. And she makes little sounds of life. But, you know, I don't know how long this little sounds of life will be if we don't do something to help them. You know that there's 10,000 people a day that die from the waterborne diseases. And most of them are children 5 and under. We can stop that. We can make the difference by doing the water wells and giving them a fresh cup of water.
You know, I very deliberately reached out to see if this little girl would take hold of my fingers. Mm-hmm. And in so many ways, little children like this are reaching out to find somebody they can hold on to. And I'd like you to be one of the hands to reach out and dial the telephone number and take your bank card and use it like a check or write a check and make it to life. Please call us and let us know what you're sending, or you could go online and say, I want to give life to children like this and keep them healthy.
I hope you are calling or going to the website. And remember, the Arise devotional is available, and Beth is a part of that, so do ask for that with your gift. And most of all, thank you for supporting Mission Water for Life and for watching Life Today.
Faith, family, and freedom are under attack. As America faces battles within, many wonder where to turn. In their new book, James Robison and Jay Richards call us to stand together before it's too late. As one nation, truly under God. Indivisible, the New York Times bestseller, now available in paperback at online and retail bookstores.
Why did you answer their prayers but not ours?
We have the checklist on the prayers.
Tomorrow, two families faced with tragedy and struggles ask the tough questions. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.